Blog Talk Radio.
And development. This is Let's Chat Over Coffee and Kingdom Culture, Neighbors for Christ, Word Life Center. Every Wednesday in the month of February, we will gather at Destiny Union Church in the upper level on 1750 West and on 3rd Street. Class began as our congregation, our leaders are expressing and talking on topics that are a concern in the kingdom culture. And so we invite you to come out and share with us live interaction. We appreciate you, and we have some exciting topics to pass, appropriate dress for church attire, control. We have looked at some of the issue of dating. We are currently going to talk about music. Should Christians listen to secular music? We are going to continue from last week and end our conversation as it concerns the members of the church. And we invite you to come out tomorrow praise the Lord, to the Valentine's Day First Love Banquet, where we were are honoring our first love, the God of glory, who is the lover of our soul. There's a wonderful service being presented to you by the men of LFB, the Man Cave. So you need to come out and experience this love fest as we bask in the presence of the Lord through worship and fellowship. We encourage you to come out tomorrow at 7 o'clock to 1750 West 103rd Street, upper level at Bethany Union Church. So we ask that you come with the ministry of one another, love in your heart, preparing to love on our Savior, our first love, the one who loved us first. So as we transition to the physical location, we encourage you to get out your thinking cap, get out your word, get your coffee, get comfortable, and let's chat. Let's talk about the things that are being asked throughout the kingdom as it relates to the people of God. Now, if you have a topic you would like to suggest and you would like to hear addressed, then we encourage you to send it to us. You can submit your topic for discussion to Sherita_Tate@yahoo.com. That's Sherita, Sherita@yahoo.com. We would love to hear some of your topics, and we will submit them for presentation as we come together to examine our behavior, our mindset, and compare it to what did the Word of God say? What did the Word of God say? So at this time, we pray that the physical location is prepared, and we will go live at our spiritual growth and development. Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening, Overseer.
Good evening, Overseer, and to our Blog Talk family.
Good evening, Overseer and the Blog Talk family.
Amen. All right,
I'm going to look by the way every looking at me, it is 7 o'clock.
Yes.
Amen. Speaking during time, praise Marshall, who's going to have some interesting dialogue on this topic.
We do want to remind our Blog Talk family that your phones are live, and if you'd like to dialogue, which we definitely encourage dialogue, take your phones off mute, and there is a 3 or 4 second delay, so do be patient, but please feel free to dialogue with the physical location.
They just probably couldn't hear him pray.
Thank you, Overseer. We were in prayer opening up here at the physical location with Deacon Drayshawn. Blog Talk family?
Yes, we're not hearing anything.
One moment, please.
Thank you, Blog Talk family. Can you hear us now?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, thank you.
All righty, I believe everyone can hear everyone. and we will proceed forward.
All right. So prayerfully you guys can hear me, and we are continuing our conversation on today on how do we handle conflict in the church and what steps should we take to minimize recycling Christians, especially those who have left because of unresolved conflict. And so we without a doubt, touched deeply on this topic on last Wednesday, and we just kind of want to take it to a whole nother place. We begin to look at resolving conflict in the church, and conflict being a disagreement that cannot be resolved within itself. Okay, so conflict, looking at the concept of conflict from the perspective, something that at this point it involves multiple people, or in it, not people, but the scenario is not something that is resolved within itself. And so it now has people, if you could say, not on one accord or not in agreement, looking at it from the perspective of one of the definitions is a serious disagreement or argument, typically, or to be incapable or some major clash within itself. And so Webster says a competitive or opposing actions. To come into collision or disagreement by contradictory or in opposition or clash. So someone else says, Colin says, conflict is a serious disagreement or argument about something of importance. And so if two people or groups are in conflict, they have had a serious disagreement and they have been unable to reach a solution. And so because conflict is attached to so many other things, we definitely want to be mindful of the emotional state of an individual or of a place that conflict can leave you in. And so not wanting conflict to go unresolved for any length of time, because you don't want that to be something that begins to settle and brew and you become frustrated and it gives the enemy an opportunity to sow psychological and emotional and spiritual seeds of discord within your thinking. And so just kind of making sure it is something that it has to be resolved, and so we don't want it to linger. Okay, so how do we begin to solve it within the church? And on last week we kind of gave some scriptures that talked about, the steps to biblical discipline and biblical correction, and then we realized we passed out some books at AEN that kind of spoke to it, and so we definitely want to give place to that, the opportunity to review that as well. So, conflict in the church. Somebody said we need conflict resolution teams. I thought that was good. That was interesting. That's useful. Whatever you want to call it, you need it. I think if we understand, I was going to say unfortunately, but I guess I shouldn't say unfortunately, but that, ministry of one another, we would be a little more sensitive in the realm of conflict and also understanding conflict. For me, is something, it's rooted out of a selfishness from the perspective that unless it's scriptural, then it's not conflict, it's something else. It's I'm not willing to yield, you're not willing to yield, we got a conflict, we got a problem. And so it's when we begin to look, and I'm not saying all of it, but oftentimes it's a group of people or two people or multiple people, individuals, that we don't see eye to eye, and so we're at this roadblock, and we're not willing to compromise or even, as the scripture says, give up the right for the wrong. We're not willing to do that. I'm right, you're wrong, period. And so that thinking is so against a healthy church, okay, or against the biblical or scriptural mandate that we have as it relates to how we interact with each other in love. Love isn't keeping score. Love isn't concerned whether it's right or wrong. Love will give up its right so that it does not wrong you. And so just kind of beginning to consider it from that perspective. I'll say that, to consider it from that perspective. So when we talk about how do we resolve conflict in the church, I felt like it would be good today if we just kind of picked one example of a conflict and kind of looked at what would have been a better way to address it. What are some scriptural principles that we could use within the realm of conflict? How do we get locked in and stuck to a place where it's like, I can't get past this place, I can't get past you, and that's it, that's all. So anybody, listen, you know, anybody have a good example of a really good, healthy conflict? Well, you say, you know, so that we can begin to apply something, because if none of us are willing to yield or compromise, then there won't be any resolution. Okay, so how do we begin to apply resolution and win? You know, because for somebody it's like, it's important that I stand my ground. Well, is it important that we stand our ground if our grounds aren't scriptural? Is it a ground? Let's say, you know, it's my right. Dead men don't have rights. So just something for us to think about. So let anybody have a really good, healthy conflict. Okay, nobody likes the word healthy conflict.
That's funny.
I have one.
So I belong to a church, and this was when we were starting to have a lot of teen pregnancy. And so the suggestion was any married lady that had, she did a baby shower after church. So when the first young lady who wasn't married went to have one and went to the pastor, he said no. And so I was actually surprised because even some of the mothers of the church, they got upset with him. Why wouldn't you do this? And he was like, now I understand. We will support her, and we will get, you know, stroller, car seat, all of that. But he felt that the baby shower was reserved to honor the marriage and the union that way. And so he brought some scriptures and all of that and to back it up. And some of them still were going to do it on the sly. And so he got wet. He's like, absolutely not. You know, and so he stood his ground, but it took some talking. But like you were saying, Pastor, I think the middle ground understanding was scripture was going to be the foundation or the middle place. And so you always have to say, even when I'm doing conflict with the men, what is our golden objective? What is that common ground, or at least we can start to meet? But if you're coming from such different places, you may not reach that healthy conflict. Because if I'm coming from a scriptural place and you're coming from a worldly point of view, it's going to be difficult to do that.
Okay, so let's use that. So, you know, let's say the church is divided because we love Sister Sue, and Sister Sue got this baby, she's pregnant, and we always do this, and so we don't understand why we can't get Sister Sue A baby shower. Okay. So what's, and so now we're at, we're in conflict, and I love the other component, let's just do it on the sly outside of the church, because I love Sister Sue, so come on, Sister Sue, I'll give it in our clubhouse. Okay. So that's a really good, safe example, and we've had that example, so it's going to just work wonderful. Wonderful. Okay. How do we begin to resolve that? No, not how we resolve. So this side of the, okay, these four people want to give her a baby shower. Those four people don't. So, and we don't really
Behind. Why does
everyone want to
give her a baby shower?
Because she's pregnant, she's having a baby just like those three people did.
It don't matter.
She's out of wedlock, and she underage. Mm-hmm. No, I was trying to think of her.
Yeah.
She's out of wedlock, and she's underage. Underage being, you know.
16 and pregnant.
That'll work for me. 16 and pregnant.
Yeah.
Somebody, Deacon. Look, Deacon woke up like, no. God, amen, it ain't mine. We can add that. I'm flexible.
I think it's going to meet a need. I think it's going to meet a need because the baby needs, I guess, those things. Did you get out of the shower? Then, you know, you can meet that need, but not necessarily the celebration, you know, of what a baby, what you do for a baby shower.
So your argument or your suggestion is meet the need, mm-hmm. but don't celebrate the seer.
I don't know about meet the need. Drop the stuff off at the house. Take it to Target.
Deacon didn't want to go.
Okay. Take him to Target. Can say me. You know, get whatever it is that the baby needs. You know, so there's no lack in that area.
Okay. Anybody? Yes.
Now, another thing that he said was that the pastor had said, no, we're not going to do that because we don't want to celebrate. This
event,
right? And he don't want to celebrate the sin, so he said not to do it. And
he was, but see, once he said no to it in the church, some other people were going to do it on the fly. And then the other controversy came, just to add a caveat. She also was a member of the choir, so he let her sing until she started to show. And then once she started showing, you know,
I'd have set you down when I found out you were through it. You wouldn't have had, having sex. You wouldn't have had to worry about getting pregnant.
Right. Because, you know,
the whole
church is dead.
Absolutely.
The other thing,
it just was a family church.
Yes.
And it depends on whose family
it always
belongs
yes,
to.
Does.
And so I think ordinarily, pastor would have done like you and set her down. He was trying to compromise, and
mm-hmm.
that caused all of this hell that he knew was coming mm-hmm. when he set her down from the choir, and then that's the baby shower aspect. And so he was trying to give some leeway. But then they kept wanting to push this thing, you know. I think it's hard, Pastor, when you said not celebrate the sin, and people were seeing the baby and the sin as the same thing.
Oh, and you got to see it as two different things.
Right. So I think that became the big question.
Yes. So the first thing is understanding that the baby is not a sin. Only God can bring life. And so making that very, very, very clear. And so the act that brought it about, okay, not celebrating that. And yet it could have been, it didn't even have to be consensual. You know, I mean, in this scenario, we're making those assumptions.
But having resolving the conflict. So one of the things I thought was interesting that was said was that compromise. So as leaders, we try to figure out how can we kind of make everybody happy and please everybody. What's the compromise? But whatever the rule is, consistency becomes important because when you give on this level, it's going to require you to kind of give on another level. So just understanding the need for whatever the rule is, there's never any loopholes in it. Okay. And then I think it was perfect that it was, okay, the church doesn't want to do it or can't do it or whatever the case may be. Let's do it ourselves. So how many of us would see it's nothing wrong with doing it ourselves? Because after all that, I think her name is Sue. Is that what we call her? That's Sue. And, you know, her mom's a good friend of mine or, you know, she's a good friend of mine or whatever the case may be. We would have thought it was okay to do it ourselves. How many of us would have thought, what's the big deal? Because it's not the church, it's me. I know yours is yes.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
And I have a situation like that too. One of them, they had an abortion before. They got rid of it. I mean, well, they had an abortion on target.
Yeah, so that baby, that baby.
And then now they're pregnant again. My thing was, you must have this baby. Don't have another abortion. Plus, you cause a lot of problems to your body, you know, that could cause even more damage, you know, or whatever. And we just have to assist you with the main things you need, you know. But it's overwhelming, you know, that you didn't continue to learn from that first thing, you know, to wrap it up or take care of it or whatever.
I'm still going back with the whole, the leader said no.
Yeah.
Right, so... No baby shop.
He already compromised.
So was this the thing? Was it at the church part?
Well, no, I'm just saying no baby shower for Sue.
Right. No baby shower for Sue, right?
Well, he was saying no at the church.
Okay.
So you know, I think that's how they interpreted it. I think his whole thing was no period.
Okay.
But then once these ladies got together, and like I said, I was surprised that some of the mothers. But I think it was because of whose daughter it was who wanted to compromise. And they were still about, they were still going to do it at the church.
Wow.
They were going to do it, like, at the end of choir rehearsal, just slip it in. And he got wind of it and showed up. He was like, no. When I said no, not at the church. You know, and again, I can understand his perspective. So I had my oldest child, I had her out of wedlock. Now, I escaped because they had stopped at that point. Because when you used to do it, you just had to go before the church and ask for forgiveness.
Yeah,
I remember that. So they didn't make me do that. But when I went down as pastor to christen her, he set us both down and said, you know what you did was wrong. This is what you need to do. We had to listen for about a couple hours. So just and I respect it.
Right,
but then
right.
He told me it would be an honor to baptize your baby. So he made it clear that my daughter was in the sin. We had sin, but we didn't pass that sin on to her.
So the people that want to give her a baby shower on the side.
I didn't think it.
No, I divided the room.
Oh, okay.
Remember?
I said baby shower at my house.
At your
because it's not the church.
So is that what we see that as being okay other than the person that's giving it? Because clearly.
Spiritual relationship trumps personal relationship. So what if we all go to church and it's my niece?
Right.
And I'm not trying to throw a monkey wrench and make it difficult, but this is my. And it's my blood family. We're also brothers and sisters in Christ, you know.
My sister pregnant is out of wedlock. Am I going to give you some? No. That's different because my idea of taking care of that little scenario is very different. There ain't no Eddie Bauer car seat for that child. What? People are going to walk away feeling some kind of way. okay? And like somebody said, when the next individual comes up, wherever there was any compromise, the grace of that compromise is going to be looked to be extended that way. And then at the end of the day, part of it really is a blatant disrespect to leadership. You said no, we said yes. Guess who's going to win? We're going to be at the clubhouse.
The rule was that it couldn't be as a church, right?
The rule was...
No, Pastor Phil, no, period. Don't
get...
It should be a celebration.
Okay, I thought you said
no, so he definitely was
couldn't
saying
be a
that
celebration, and it definitely wasn't going to be at the church.
Okay. Right. I thought it should it couldn't be a celebration at the church. So okay. They were going to do it at the church. They had already bought the stuff. So did they going to give it to us or whatever?
Well, no. So this was in the planning stage.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Like I said,
okay.
So traditionally, whenever any woman got pregnant in the church,
okay.
The women's ministry got together, you did a baby shower, regardless of whether her friends or whoever else did,
okay.
That was part of the church celebration. And so when this young lady got pregnant, and I believe she was the first time we had to deal with this scenario, Pastor was like, no, we will support her. And he made it clear when he talked to the faculty at a church meeting. Diaper stroller, whatever, being at the hospital for her, making sure she gets her prenatal, da 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 da. All of this, we're gonna do this, celebrating in this way, because he felt that that was reserved for a married woman, and celebration that way. So,
can you say make the rule? Pregnant people get gift cards. Envelope gift card. No. No, but just kind of, you know, using this, and it isn't an unfamiliar scenario for us because actually we had that exact same scenario. But I'm just coming up with the strategy on how to resolve it because I think there was, okay, we still think this needs to be done. Well, no, it can't be done. And how do you, you know, reconcile yourself with that decision that the answer is no? How do you communicate that to the family, to the young lady, to the gentleman, or just to her, or to whoever the powers be? And just, hello?
Yes.
Oh, go on. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to share the fact that I believe everything is a teachable moment. And what we're doing is looking at issues and saying, what should the church's response be? And I think it's a perfect opportunity to put something in place, the mothers or whoever wanted it to happen. How do we address the need of our young ladies that are coming of age and making, you know, unhealthy choices? So maybe it won't be called a baby shower like you celebrate for the married couple, but maybe it is a gathering for information, for teaching, for accountability, for repentance, and you make it the kind of gathering that brings wholeness to the situation, and as well as providing for the natural as it relates to the little one. And so just getting commitment to spiritual growth and development of both of them, you know, and just making it the kind of event that would cause the others to realize that, first of all, you know, it's not going to be glorified and glamified, but it is going to be looked at through the mirror of the Word of God, and that there's healing in that. It may even be the one thing that will encourage them not to do it that way, because they've now understood, you know, with a one-on-one kind of, not one-on-one, but a in-your-face example of how the church responded to them. I know when I was growing up, if you were pregnant and you didn't come before the church and repent, you had to go. So you had to stand before the church and repent. You know, obviously a position that nobody wanted to find themselves in. You know, but the issue, I think, is not so much you can't do this and you can't do that, which is what Christian life seems to be for other people, what you can't do. But what can you do? What can we do? What positive things? And maybe it wasn't for the pastor to understand or know that, or that wasn't his lane. But if the mothers want to, if they presented a plan to him, he may have been able to go along with that. You know, bringing the church together for support, for encouragement, for teaching, you know, the young people. So just using it as an opportunity for ministry. That's all.
That sounds like a familiar plan.
Mm-hmm.
All right. At any rate, thank you, Overseer. I believe what becomes important is always, unless our truth or, no, our conviction is rooted in Scripture, then not making it absolute gospel. And sometimes we make our truth, we try to make our truth or our belief or our preference or the things that we, you know, that we feel very passionate about, we try to make that gospel. Okay, we it is because, and we could come up with a gazillion reasons, and, you know, if it isn't Scripture, it isn't Scripture. If it cannot be supported, if this foundation isn't found in Scripture, then we really shouldn't try to make it something that it isn't.
That's one of the things that Neil T. Anderson says in his book, Setting Your Church Free, is that the Bible says, and the truth shall make you free. And so in order to resolve conflict, the truth of God's word has to come in order for people to be set free. You cannot do it, you know, through just your own ideology. Oprah can't help you. You can't bring in Dr. Phil. You got to bring in the truth of God's word so that people can be set free.
All right.
Take that stone and throw it down and say, now who has the first one that have seen pick up the stone and do your throwing? If I look at what would Jesus do in a situation like that or any situation that doesn't go along with the church?
Mm-hmm.
Like you told the woman caught in the very act, he told her, go and sin no more. So conviction has to come in the spirit of rejection is already there. So even the fetus understands now that rejection. So when he or she grows up with that spirit of rejection, then we wonder, where did it come from? Not disrespecting the one that have charge of us, but just what would she do? Like the girl might need some diapers. So some milk or some clothes for the baby. So are we not allowed to supply those needs? He said not in his, well, when I come up, you couldn't do that in the church, you know. And like we had to stand before and do our confession, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't hold hands and none of that stuff, you know. But we still have that spirit of rejection there. We still have spirit of teaching, where we have to teach our young people and even teach some of the old people what would our Heavenly Father do. So spirit of rejection and conflict in the church is always going to be started a long time ago. So it's always going to be, and I think it's going to be separate people in the church in that way. People don't come to the full knowledge of the love of Christ in hope. So the pastor say no baby shower in the church, and no baby shower in the church. But then the first time he does it for his granddaughter or something, then there's another company. How do we end conflict? I still go back to the word. What's the rule of truth? And then there goes another conflict. You're so holy than that. You're so tight.
Amen. Matthew 5:9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And so within the realm of conflict, where who picks up the anointing of the peacemaker? And what does that look like? And sometimes we feel like when that's the role we're in, that peacemaker is, oh, you just gave in. You didn't stand your ground. But there is a time, that always keeping in mind that he says, look, blessed are the peacemakers, because those are the ones that I'm going to call the children of God. Mm-hmm. And so making sure that conflict in and of itself, conflict and becoming argumentative, the moment we enter that realm, we're actually sinning, because being argumentative is a sin.
Mm-hmm.
So we're sinning trying to defend whatever the situation is. So just, you know, really wanting to keep in mind, you know, find a scripture in each of these scenarios that you can hold on to, that you can begin to examine yourself by, like, wow, am I being a peacemaker? Or is it so important that my point is made or proven or whatever? I think the scenario that Phil gave last week, and the conclusion was just stop and pray. And in the process, do we all just stop and say, you know what, we're going to stop, we're going to pause, we're going to pray, and the next words, you know how they say the next voice you'll hear, is the next voice you'll be hear is that of the Lord. And until he says something, we won't say nothing else on this matter. You know, and really adapting, and I don't know if everybody heard the whole thing, but that resolved the whole scenario. It had been going on how long? The scenario where prayer fixed it, the 15 minutes of prayer fixed, how long had it been going on?
A year and a half.
Okay, so 15 minutes, and I'm not belittling 15 minutes, 15 minutes in prayer resolved a year and a half of intense, passionate dialogue. We can call it that. So, you know, just kind of what are some of our options? Because we have them, Apostle.
A scripture, James 3:17, Apostle God, I change scriptures. And this scripture was like a full song for me. It says the wisdom from above is first of all pure.
Yeah.
It is also peace, loving, gentle in all times, and willing to yield to us.
Yes, amen.
I didn't need to go any further. Mm-hmm. Because in my driving experience, I'm not good at yielding. I got quickened about my driving. Like, you don't like to yield. And so if you have problems in this area, where is it spilled over to?
Right, absolutely.
You have to be willing to yield. James 3, 3:17. Or I'm like, man. So needless to say, I'm being delivered from my
Jesus. So, amen. You know, willing to yield, and in yielding, being the peacemaker. Keeping the focus always on the Word of God, and not what would look good, what would be good, what would feel good, but on He who is good. So, okay, let's go to the other half of this very interesting scenario, given all that has happened. So it says, how do we minimize recycling saints? Well, recycling Christians, especially when they're going somewhere else on the back of conflict. So let's just first get to the whole recycling of Christians. And so recycling, or, you know, those revolving door Christians, or you went here, then you went here, then you went here. Well, I'm leaving here because, you know, the paint on the wall is pink and won't nobody fix it. Or, you know, whatever the unresolved conflict is within the minds, within the spirit, that people just kind of begin to transfer membership. So we have a lot of things on the table. So, you know, the first thing we'll say is, would you take a member in, you all are leaders, would you take a member in your church that's coming to your church? They come to join. They join today. because what is it? Luke 10 and 2 says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And so now this sold is coming. And so first of all, are we excited that you get this sold that belonged over there or was over there, wherever over there is? Number one. Number two, do you sense a responsibility to reach back to that leadership and say, one of your sheep wandered, I can send an Uber for you to take them back. Okay. Do we receive them? Because it may be something at your individual ministry that they need. Do they need to go back into a conflict? James 3:17 and Mark or Matt, what was it? Matthew 5:9. To conflict is resolved. What do we do? So we are all, think of all these churches that are built on or with individuals that are floaters. Okay, we're just going to call them floaters for the purpose of this conversation. And they just kind of go around, get what they need to get, deposit whatever they deposit, and just keep going because for whatever reason they become dissatisfied. And then they go to the next place and they become dissatisfied. So one, as a leader, should you take them? Should you take a disgruntled Christian into your fellowship? Pastor Seal said yes.
They coming on Christian experience with a letter.
Okay, so they coming on Christian experience, and my letter for them said they have issues, and they're bringing them there with the luggage.
Like labor, yeah. Word like center, like it's a hospital, a place of healing for leaders. So
a hospital don't keep you forever.
No, it doesn't.
There is a pink. Wait a minute, Pastor Marlette. There is a pink discharge.
No,
they,
I get that, but just the part about.
No, I'm kidding. No, so do you let them come and be planted in your house?
We're talking about, like, labor.
I really didn't want to use our church.
Well, we're here because I have been kicked out of my church and locked the gate. And
I'm aware of that.
And I'm saying that to say, and I'm
16 years later, we're having this conversation.
Ooh. No, but I'm saying that church no longer exists. Not even, I mean, I'm not blaming the church, but it was a controlling environment.
We won't talk about that, but go on.
I'm just saying, but I did what the Holy Spirit led me to do. I've tried to follow the guidelines. I didn't get no letter because they weren't going to give me no.
No, they weren't going to give you that.
But
not
I tried in a nice way.
Yeah.
I called the pastor and said, could me and my son come and meet? And it was Bible study time. He got them all out of the thing. And
yeah, we know the story.
I went to their house to do it the right way. No. And so I wasn't going to get no letter. So thank God I hadn't heard your message.
But you had
tried to resolve it in a way. So do you think I was a recycling thingy?
Let's keep going.
But here's where I got my help from.
I think, when we talk about recycling Christians, we're not making reference. No. Seriously, we're not talking about the individual that's wounded.
Okay.
Wounded and disgruntled are two different things. You just got an attitude with life, okay? Disgruntled, you're just frustrated. Pick a D word, whether you're depressed, concerned. So you're not satisfied with yourself. You are angry with God. You're not going to be happy anywhere. You come prepared to find fault, or you come with so many unresolved issues that when fault surfaces, you give it a breeding ground to grow. Okay? So when we talk about disgruntled, you're an individual who feels like the place you're leaving has too many things that's against your understanding of Scripture. And so thus you need to go somewhere else. Now, when you get there, you're going to find those same things because they're within you. And so they're going to keep following you. But let's go back. You can't, okay? You can't run from you, and somebody can't beat the you out of them, okay? So when you begin to look at, so coming to a place because you're wounded, that's something totally different. That's, you know, yes, exactly. So coming, yes, yes. Absolutely. So that's a very, very different. That's
a
no. Absolutely.
The other part of Wednesday when we was here and we was talking about this fellowshipping versus this Wanto, I couldn't understand.
Yeah. Now there are people that we still affiliate with that's been disfellowshipped.
Okay, but I wasn't even concerned about the disfellowshipping. I mean, not that other people didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
I was more concerned about the Toronto ones.
Right.
And I didn't understand how that, if I guess, too, in relation with the alien and then parts being planted.
Yeah,
and
but I mean, because the reality of it is, if we're unfortunately using this place as an example.
Because this is the only thing we know right now.
Okay. No, that's fine. You know, I mean, within this structure, the complexities lie that, you know, maybe you were a part of Word Life Center and you left disheartened. You left frustrated, okay. But you're a part of AEN and so you still have some ties, okay. And so maybe the way you left LFC, you're frustrated, you left, and there is needs to be a period of disconnectedness, okay, so that all soil can heal and recover from the toxicity that either was brought to the soil or that was breeded in the soil when you mixed multiple seeds. So then there's the AEM perspective, and we go, well, you know, do we still fellowship? Do we reach out? Do we still stay connected, if you will? And so the answer is going to be no.
Even as accountability
part,
you don't be a part of the
crisis. If we think of, what is that, ministry of one another or accountability, accountability says hold me accountable as I hold you accountable.
Right.
When we're in our season of disgruntledness, we're not looking to be held accountable, okay? When we exit, and we close the door, and we block the email, we're not looking to be accountable. We're not looking. So I may let you reach out to me because we're friends, but I don't want you all to reach out to me for accountability purposes because I'm disgruntled. So what we need to understand is that in those scenarios, there's such a fine line. There's such a fine line. And you really have to know when you've crossed it. Because sometimes I stay connected so that I can continue to impact with my impact a place, okay, fine, seeds of discord. I was going to say because I'm infected and I intend to see it spread. But, yes, seeds of discord. And we don't always understand that, and we're not always clear with those kinds of boundaries, okay? So, and we have to be clear because we'll go, it's my responsibility with the ministry of one another.
And you just text.
It doesn't matter what we do because you're in soil, okay? And so these are just things that you have to keep in mind. And let's just kind of focus on the recycling side for right now. We'll get to the other side. So let's focus on this recycling side because what happens, they'll go from your church to 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 your church. Sowing these seeds, and when I say go, they may only stay 4 months, or they may stay a year. They may stay 3 months. And while they're with you, they're with you, and they're with you. You got to begin to look and assess, is that God? They could be on the church roster in 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 churches. I'm making up this. At least I'm really trying hard to make it up. And we don't always know how many churches. Well, we give you a lot of information that you fill out, but most people don't exit or leave a place properly. And it could be because maybe this church doesn't have a proper way to leave. You're there one Sunday, then we look up and we don't see you anymore. This church may have a proper way to leave, but you didn't know. Yeah, you just left. You know, you felt the Lord saying you're released, and that was all you needed. So I believe that we need to understand that, because sometimes we are attracted or we're drawn or it by ministry size. And what we don't always understand is what makes up the dynamics of those ministries. Okay, so they look big today because they have all of you in it, but tomorrow that ministry is going to look big because you all said, oh, look, so-and-so is doing this, and so now we all going to come over there, and now we brought some people with us, and it was phenomenal, and we just feel led too. So we used to say years ago, the church has lead poisoning, right? You know, everybody is led to do something, okay, and it's all toxic. So that was just something like, you know, we used to say all the time. So it's just something we need to begin to look at. What does, are we encouraging recycling?
And I think, again, it's imperative for the pastor, the leader, to know how to handle that particular situation. And, you know, I was being facetious and not with the whole I'm coming with a letter, you know, and I'm on my Christian experience. Thereby, you can make an assessment somewhat that you left in good standing because you got this leader who says, okay, you're good. It could be some fluff to it. I'm looking at you. And so...
I think it's interesting, but only because we have these real scenarios on the table. And so do you even write a letter?
Yeah, that's a good question.
See, so I'm the person, I'm not going to give you a letter. Mm-hmm. Bye.
You won't give them a letter? It's
bad in it. Right. It just, I'm not going to say something is bad or good.
Okay.
I'm there's no neutral letter because the fact you came with a letter automatically says something. Oh, they were a member here. Okay, so is that bad? That's very neutral, isn't it?
But, I mean, if you're leaving XYZ church and you were not of the term and you want to go to ABC church, yeah, I'm going to write you a letter, but it's a very neutral letter.
Let's use the example of neutral. I mean, I don't – so you're – Susie has been a member here.
Susie was a member of the church.
And been here for 17 years. Okay.
That tells you nothing. It's employment. You know,
exactly.
It's very important. I'm just going to get started or end it.
That's it.
See, unfortunately for me, if you ask me for a letter, okay, so Susie was here. She's been here for 10 and a half months. She has paid tithes once. She has not yielded her gift within the scope of this house, because you, if you're bold enough to ask me for a letter, be bold enough to take the letter I'm going to write for you, because you know you're wrong. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to make you feel good either. Oh, and I send those kinds of letters often.
One of my pastors, Reverend Allison, and I've been blessed to have him, and he would ask a question. He was like, why didn't you leave, and can I call your pastor?
Absolutely.
Because I understand what you're saying about a neutral letter. The only thing about that is I've seen people not say anything, and the person was a president. So what if Susie was at the church? But she was a church cougar.
Come on.
Okay. And so and you're kind of just, I can't let that go if she's asking me for that letter and put that infection in another ministry. It's because me personally, I feel responsible for that.
That's right.
You know, and so we're seeing it now. and I don't want to sidetrack us, but right now, if you watch the news, Southern Baptist, the first article came about this very thing, about recycling. This was leaders. They knew the guy was a pedophile, didn't say anything, let him go to one place to the other. And so, lying, gossip, I've seen this all. It's happening all over. But lying and gossiping, the other caveat, Pastor, is sometimes people can be disgruntled and it's internally and not understand it. But some people see it as a position of power.
Absolutely.
Because I have influence.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've left Holy Ghost Baptist Church, mm-hmm. but behind the scenes, because you're my friend, you're my relative, I can feed into them.